You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Good morning, Birdland. I'm Mark Brown. I've been covering the Orioles for more than a decade on CamdenChat.com and hosting this podcast for 106 episodes and counting. It is now April the 9th, 2024. The Orioles are 5-4 on the 2024 season after losing 2 out of 3 games to the Pirates in Pittsburgh. The series, as you already know, featured 2 excruciating walk-off losses, maybe now evening out the Orioles' luck from the 2 improbable walk-off wins they just collected in the previous series against the Royals. If this episode sounds a little different than usual, don't worry. It's not you or whatever you're using to listen to this show. I'm recording this from my sister-in-law's house, where I've come to witness the path of totality of the solar eclipse. But of more interest to us than the temporary disappearance of the sun behind the moon on this show is the ongoing disappearance of the Orioles offense. And that's what I'll be talking about in today's episode. The totals, they are not pretty. Since scoring 24 runs over the first 2 games of the season, the Orioles have gone on to score 23 runs over the next 7 games. That is just more than 3 runs per game, not going to cut it in the long run. As a team, the Orioles are now batting just .222, which, believe it or not, is not the worst batting in the league so far. In fact, among American League teams, through Sunday's results, that is actually middle of the pack, as the Orioles at .222 still have the 8th best team batting average in the American League. But where the Orioles do notably stink is in team on-base percentage. Through their 9 games, they've gotten on base at a .274 clip. That is next to worst among AL teams, driven, of course, by the Orioles having only drawn 22 walks in 9 games, which is also next to worst among AL teams. So, you know, from the department of the obvious, it is going to be hard to score runs if you're not getting guys on base. Of course, with the quintet of young to young-ish hitters down at the AAA Norfolk level laying waste to the early competition they're facing in the International League this year, and with some veterans on the Orioles struggling at the plate, it's not hard to give in to the temptation of the knee-jerk reaction that the Orioles need to already make some changes. I think anybody who in the days before the season was disappointed to see Jackson Holliday sent to Norfolk, apparently with the aim of preserving Ramon Urias as a regular player in the lineup, and then, of course, with that turning into having Tony Kemp as the lefty infielder around on the bench, if you didn't like that, well, you've certainly got some vindication from thinking that was a bad decision, with Urias starting off the season with just 1 hit in his first 17 at-bats. Now, granted, that group of people does include me, so I'm not going to go taking a victory lap about it, though, because it's not like it took any kind of special genius to make the prediction that probably Jackson Holliday was going to be a better option as a regular player for the 2024 Orioles than Ramon Arias. I think Arias has had a declining bat for several years. That's just been plainly apparent in the results that he's gotten. But even more than that, you could have looked to see maybe more of a decline coming for 2024, because for Arias in the 2023 season, the StatCast X stats, which is things like expected batting average and expected slugging percentage, they were really bad for Arias. And these stats, they basically look at things like overall quality of contact, looking at stuff like exit velocities, launch angle, how often the player is barreling up the ball, whatever. And for Arias, although he had back of the baseball card stats, like his triple slash line, that was acceptable, batting 264 with a 328 on base percentage, 375 slugging percentage. The X stats for Arias were really bad. So he only had a 14th percentile expected batting average and 7th percentile expected slugging percentage. So you look at stuff like that, and overall, the way that Arias was hitting the ball last year was not something that really indicated that he didn't even really have success at the plate last year. He was just on the edge of okay. And there wasn't much reason to even believe he'd be able to carry forward that in 2024. And sure enough, he hasn't. But, I mean, now that the Orioles have committed to the service time games or whatever they're doing with Holliday, I don't think we're going to see him any earlier than April 19th. So I guess what I hope is if 10 more days pass and Arias still continues to look like he's done, then the Orioles are going to reevaluate if they were planning to really screw around with Holliday's service time by keeping him down until, like, June the 1st. To try and maybe guarantee that he won't finish in the top two spots of Rookie of the Year. Just get him up to the Orioles no later than April 19th and Arias onto the bench. And from there, the Orioles can decide whether they want to continue the Arias tenure, depending on how he takes to a bench role. That's what I think, and I don't know. We'll see. Really, though, if Arias was the only guy to complain about, I think fans would be happier with the early results from the Orioles than we have been so far. But unfortunately, Arias is not the only guy to complain about. There are two other regular players, Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins, who currently have an on-base percentage of 175 or worse. Then there are an additional three regular players who are batting 220. That's a 220 average or worse. Anthony Santander, Gunnar Henderson, and Jordan Westberg, all in that group. So, I mean, that is a huge chunk of the lineup that is, on the whole, combining to do nothing good. So, I mean, that the Orioles are above 500 with all of that going on really is good for them, I think. And even it's a better record than the Orioles had through nine games last year, because the 2023 team was 4-5 over nine games. There was the walk-off loss in Boston in the second game, stuck in our craw, and the Orioles at that point were fresh off losing two out of three games to the Yankees. So things are a little better than they were a year ago by one game. We'll see, of course, whether they can start to turn things around going to Boston this week. But really, of the six regular hitters who are stinking on the Orioles right now, actually the Orioles have the ability to send four of the six of them, so all except for Arias and Santander, to the minors freely without exposing them to being claimed by other teams. Now, I think sending really any of those guys down for a bad 10 days would be stupid. And certainly the Orioles, I don't think, are very likely to ever think of sending down Gunnar Henderson or Jordan Westberg. And then you're looking at guys like Hayes and Mullins, and it's like, I don't think it would be a particularly good idea to say to either Hayes or Mullins, who've now played in a number of MLB seasons for the Orioles, like, for Hayes in particular, like, what are they going to do? Say, sorry, dude, but you're going to the minors after having a bad week and a half, a period of time in which you were sick enough to miss at least one game. So even, you know, we could maybe look and say, okay, maybe Hayes' struggles, well, he's got to get over the illness and recover, whatever. But Hayes, he technically has a minor league option year remaining. Well, he does. So the ability to send him down is theoretically there. I just don't think it would be very smart because, one, we should still expect that Hayes is going to rebound to something more like his recent performance, because Unlike Arias, I think his numbers last year were fine and suggested he would probably be fine again this year. But more than just that, well, okay, as a general rule, I think that pleas about both team chemistry and having like armchair psychology about a player's ability to focus, I think as a general rule, that stuff's overblown. But in this case, I think one thing that would rise to the level of causing problems in those areas is if the team shows absolutely no loyalty to an established player like Hayes over struggles over such a small sample size within a season. So, yeah, the option is there theoretically, but on a practical level, you know, the Orioles are committed to running out more of Austin Hayes than they've done so far, because you can't have 4 or more year veteran players wondering if 2 bad weeks is going to get him dropped to the minors. You can't have your younger players who hope to someday be established veterans thinking that if they have a modest slump 2 or 3 years from now, they're going to go right back to the minors. I think even the least sentimental and most cutthroat baseball front offices out there right now don't operate like this. It would just create a situation where nobody wants to play for the Orioles. Nobody wants to come here. Nobody wants to stay here any longer than they absolutely need to. So just if anyone out there is thinking, okay, they got to demote Hayes if he keeps batting badly, we got to put the brakes on that for at least, I would say, another month. But I mean, I get the temptation to vent some frustration because with outfielders Heston Kerstad and Kyle Stowers hitting how they've done to start the AAA season, it's not hard to give in to thinking the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Like, I mean, you know, Hayes' early numbers, they are really bad. So it's not hard. But, I mean, I mentioned the 2023 stuff for Arias earlier. Hayes for 2024, in fact, is even worse. Which I looked about because as I was listening to Sunday's game on the radio, Melanie Newman on the radio made the observation that Hayes is scuffling without much sign that things are maybe supposed to get better, because nearly every ball he's hitting is just rolled right over at infielders. And so I looked that up myself, and sure enough, Hayes, he sits at the 2nd percentile, which is to say 98% of players are better than him for expected batting average, expected slugging percentage, average exit velocity. Like, that sucks. It's going to have to suck for a lot longer than 9 games for the Orioles to take what even 2 weeks ago would have seemed like an unbelievable drastic measure of removing Hayes from the picture. So, like, unless he's secretly injured, and that explains why he sucks, and unless the Orioles discover this injury to put him on the injured list, I don't think it's worth contemplating the idea of sending down any of the established position players until probably at least the middle of May. So, like, in the meantime, we're just going to have to be patient, and we don't have to like being patient. I hope that these guys on the Orioles don't make me regret every day of this patience, but I don't know. I think don't even worry about it until May 15th. If the Orioles are losing, yes, you can worry about that, but we got to believe that the players with track records, Hayes particularly, Mullins a bit also, Santander, Henderson has 1 good year of a track record. We certainly hope he's going to have 2, that those guys are going to get things turned around. I will be right back after a message from a Fans First Sports Network sponsor, and then I'm going to talk some about players who I have higher hopes of things getting better from here.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Not every currently struggling Orioles hitter is struggling in the same way. Urias and Hayes, they are really far down there, but I think the outlook is sunnier, at least in terms of the expected stats for a few of the other hitters who have some warts going on right now. For instance, Jordan Westberg at the moment has an OPS of 597. That's pretty darn bad, but he's hitting the ball with authority, and average exit velocity is 94th percentile of players. So Westberg has expected batting average and expected slugging percentage numbers that are more than 100 points above what he is currently doing. So if his actual numbers were the expected numbers, there would be nothing to worry about with him. So I think for Westberg, if he keeps hitting the ball hard, good things will happen for him. Also true about Gunnar Henderson, although he's only hitting 206, he's in the 93rd percentile for exit velocity. He's piling a great batting eye on top of that. He's swinging at pitches outside of the strike zone only roughly one out of every six times there's a pitch out of the zone, which is in the 89th percentile of MLB players. So, I mean, for these two guys in their sophomore seasons, I think signs from the StatCast numbers are looking pretty good. Now, of the more veteran guys, Mullins and Santander, well, so far, Santander, he's not hitting the ball hard with just 30th percentile average exit velocity, but he's still a little bit above middle of the pack in the expected stats for batting average and slugging percentage. As for Mullins, well, he's lucky that Hayes and Arias are taking up a lot of the oxygen for talking about struggling players for now, because Mullins, he's not looking for too good. But again, 6 weeks before I panic, it's just, if anybody keeps stinking in the 5 weeks between now and then, I'm not going to enjoy that, even as I try to exercise patience. And for all of these struggling hitters, there's no rest for the weary, because the Orioles are about to start a three-game series in Boston this afternoon. The Red Sox, much to my surprise and chagrin, have a 7-3 record through their first 10 games. That is in part thanks to an AL best 1.80 ERA from their pitchers. Batters are hitting just 186 and slugging only 276 against Red Sox pitchers so far. So it's like going into the season, we all thought, oh, the Orioles schedule at the beginning, the first half of April, whatever, was going to be an easy one. But actually, over the first 2 weeks of baseball, it could turn out that all four of the first Orioles opponents, the Angels, Royals, Pirates, and Red Sox, they're all ending up trending towards being maybe better than expected. So maybe it was not as much of a soft schedule as we all thought. Or on the other hand, maybe the Orioles really are underperforming against what should have been cupcake guys. I don't know. But one thing we can say where things have been better overall for the team is just in the pitching in general. Not that it feels that way for me after watching Mike Bauman's complete trash outing on Saturday to spoil what could have been a nice stolen win game that the Orioles didn't quote-unquote deserve to win. They did, after all, get just four hits on Saturday, but despite that, they had a lead after the top of the 10th, and then Bauman completely crapped the bed. And it also doesn't feel that way after listening to Yennier Cano load the bases with nobody out on Sunday on the way towards another walk-off loss for the Orioles. But overall, the Orioles have a 2.85 ERA as a team. Going through Sunday's stats, that is the fifth best ERA mark in the AL. All of Corbin Burns, Grayson Rodriguez, and Dean Kramer in the rotation have an ERA under 2.50 after making two starts. Of course, that's only two starts, but still not bad. And 7 of the 8 relievers who've pitched in multiple games, which is to say everyone other than Mike Bauman, has an ERA of 3 or lower. Craig Kimbrell, Keegan Aiken, Danny Colom, and Jacob Webb all have a whip under 0.5 through their first handful of games. So I don't know. I don't know where things are going to shake out with the pitching staff as far as where it seems like there needs to be some improvement. It seems like the plan remains that John Means is going to replace Cole Irvin in the rotation at the end of this month. Orioles fans, of course, want that to be a successful plan, but it's not guaranteed, as Means is still more or less coming back from Tommy John surgery, trying to look like his old self. Means had a disaster of a first rehab start. He was fine, but in only 3 innings over his second start. So it's like, how built up will he be by the end of the month? Is he going to be able to pitch quality innings, if not quantity innings? Going beyond Irvin and Means, I don't feel great about Tyler Wells' chances of repeating his first half 2023 success in 2024. His replacement seems like it's going to be Kyle Bradish on maybe a slightly longer time frame. I don't know if I should be concerned that the Orioles don't have any kind of timetable for Bradish's return yet. Based on when he started his throwing program back up, basically right around when spring training was beginning, I've been hoping for a mid-May debut for Bradish, but if we don't find out about Bradish starting his own minor league rehab assignment by about this time next week, then it's not likely that whatever timetable does emerge is going to have Bradish back on the Orioles by the middle of next month. So as with the struggling hitters, I'm holding off on any panic about this stuff until at least the calendar turns to May. But I mean, there's a couple things there where there could end up being some reason for concern in the months of May and June if these guys are not able to return at currently expected, hoped for timetables, or if they come back and they're not good. Going into the bullpen, we have seen a number of the relievers do well so far, like I said, but at the same time, it sure does feel like the Orioles could have used another reliable reliever added over the offseason, probably a free agent signing, although you can certainly think maybe they should have tried to trade either one of their more established veterans like Austin Hayes or one of their prospects like, Kyle Stowers doesn't really count as a prospect anymore, but some team out there should have maybe thought, okay, we can have Kyle Stowers better than our reliever with 2 years of service time left or whatever. I don't know. But the lack of adding another reliable reliever, I think, is something the Orioles felt in Saturday's game when it sure seemed like Brandon Hyde was avoiding using both Kimbrell and Cano on back-to-back days, thus guaranteeing that Cano would be available on Sunday rather than not wanting to have either of those guys pitch 3 games in a row. Anyway, once Saturday's game went into the 10th, the choice was Bauman. I mean, nobody could have predicted the exact meltdown that happened, but no one could have been too surprised by it happening either. It's not like the Orioles ended up showing faith in Bauman's ability for high-leverage pitching in the past, since they left him off the playoff roster last year, even though superficially you might have thought he would have been a good choice, since he did end up with the 10 wins, mostly from vulturing. But you don't. If you pitch horribly, you're not going to get 10 wins, even if it doesn't mean you pitched great either. But, I mean, the gambit ended up failing on both ends since Cano took the loss on Sunday, although that was brought about by Gunnar Henderson's throwing error. But, you know, Cano was the one who ended up loading the bases in the first place. But anyway, I mean, because like with 2023 Felix Bautista, the Orioles would have won at least one, if not both, of those games that they lost in Pittsburgh. And I think that's something the Orioles are going to have to contend with as the season goes along, of course, because relievers who strike out close to half of all batters that they face don't just show up on the MLB team every year. As far as maybe needing to improve the pitchers, like in contrast to the hitting situation where there seems to be a prospect ready to step in right now at every possible position other than catcher, the pitching staff, not so full of interesting names who might join in the fun from within the organization, especially in April or May. Bruce Zimmerman and Justin Armbruster got blasted in their first couple of starts for Norfolk. Chase McDermott has a nice ERA so far, but has continued in his pattern of walking too many dudes. So, like, Cade Povich is the lone rotation prospect who I think has put together 2 good outings. So, okay, for Povich at least, let's hope that continues. Hopefully at least one of those other guys can turn things around a bit. And then there's the bullpen, where of the Orioles relievers in Norfolk who are currently on the 40-man roster, there are several. The only one with good early AAA results is Nick Vespe. And that the Orioles didn't even bring Vespe back to the team when fellow lefty Cino Perez was put on the injured list probably tells us what they think about Vespe. Also down there is Matt Crook and Caleb Ort and Brian Baker. And I don't think very highly about any of those guys. I don't know that the Orioles do either. They think highly enough of them. Yes, that they're on the 40-man roster, but they didn't make the Orioles, and at least from how they've pitched early on, it doesn't look like they're rushing up to Baltimore either. Now, there is non-40-man guy Wandison Charles, who I think the Orioles are hoping they can pull off a third straight year of turning a late 20s pitcher into a back-end bullpen arm. They've done it the past 2 years. They did it in Felix Bautista for 2022 and Yennier Cano for 2023. I think Charles, they would like to see that happen in 2024. We'll see if it will. He at least has pitched so well so far for Norfolk. I think that if Bauman continues to not be a reliable option for anything as the season plays out, they're probably going to try and see what Charles can do. If things play out where Kimbrell is not able to meet the expectations that the Orioles had in signing for him, that'll be an even bigger problem. But for now, I'm not too worried about Kimbrell, just on the basis of what honestly was one bad luck blown save in the first save chance the Orioles gave him of the year. That's all that I've got for today. If you enjoyed this show, please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform and maybe tell an Orioles fan friend you know about it as well. Thank you. I will be back on my regular schedule now with the next episode coming on Friday morning, hopefully with some great games against the Red Sox to discuss between now and then. Good Morning Birdland is a Camden Cast production on the Fans First Sports Network. This is Mark Brown, signing off.